Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for May 28, 2013. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Also this half hour, we'll take a look at the energy market with Dan O'Brien of Kansas State University in Colby, Kansas. In agricultural news, more jail time for the former heads of the Eastern Livestock Company Cattle Brokerage, this time on federal charges. We'll have that and other stories. Also this half hour, Todd Gleason tours a historic grain elevator in Atlanta, Illinois. And Don Day will have agricultural weather. It's all on the Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Here are how futures settled on this Tuesday afternoon in Kansas City. July wheat, 743.5, down 2.25. July wheat in Chicago is 693.75, down 3.75. July corn, 666.5, up 9.25. September, 583.75, up 17. And December at 551, up 14.5. July soybeans, 15.09 1/4, up 33. September, 13.34 1/4, up 34.25. November at 12.88, up 40.25. July soybean meal, 4.42.30, up $14.10. August, 14.10.50, up 14.30. July soybean oil, 49.54, up 30 cents. August at 49.46, also up 30 cents on the day. And last trades over on the livestock side. June live cattle, 120.62.5. It's up a nickel. August feeder cattle are 145.05, up 50. And the September at 147 even is up 32.5. And June lean hogs are up at 94.55. They are down 32.5. And those are your last trades and settlements today from Chicago and from Kansas City.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Looking at meteorologist Drew Leonard's weather highlights, he says too much rain has fallen in recent days from central Illinois and the northern half of Missouri through Iowa to south central and southwestern North Dakota and most of South Dakota. The U.S. Midwest and northern plains will be wet through the balance of this work week as waves of rain continue. The precipitation will be most significant through Friday in the western Corn Belt and through Saturday in the east. Rain totals by Saturday will have ranged from 1 to 3 inches and locally more from eastern Kansas to Michigan. Southwestern U.S. hard red winter wheat areas will get some rain this week, but amounts will be not enough to restore favorable soil moisture or reverse the impact of recent hot, dry conditions. Southwestern U.S. plains will continue hot this week with daily highs in the upper 80s through the 90s with additional extremes over 100 degrees possible.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgro on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He is in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Dave.
Before we get to the good, let's touch a little bit on the bad and clean that up first. The one place on my grain and oilseed screen where the futures were in red over in the wheat pit, what can you tell us about how wheat traded today?
Well, we can tell you that, of course, as we look at things here, that the Soviet Union and the Ukraine got some rain, much-needed rain. The basis levels have dropped in those areas as for exports, and that made it even more, they're more competitive against the U.S. Wheat, and that's where the sagging come into there. It seems like the rain, on the other hand, has been very positive towards the corn and the beans if you're in some areas that got too much rain. And there were quite a few of those areas. Fortunately, we were in pretty much an area that got just about the right amount of rain, and we could use every bit we got.
All right, then let's turn to the good. And that certainly was the soybean pit where traders handed hedgers one big juicy gift today, it seems to me.
It sure does. The funds today bought somewhere between 9,000 and 10,000 contracts of beans. They seem to think that, this flooding is going to keep some of us out of the bean field for a while. And it seems like if we get this late planting beans that we generally don't make trend yields, odds are leaning the past 9 late planted years, only 3 managed final yields above the trend. In the past 10 years, the soy's planting rate was in 2011, we were only 47% done. So if we go back that way, we can look and see. They haven't been disastrous yields, but they do cut back a little bit.
So November settling 1288, I imagine there was some hedging going on.
Well, if not, we would have thought there should have been. This was a higher level than we was even forecasting coming into this time level. There could be possibility that we'll test $13 here, but we would think that this would find some resistance in here in the next day or two.
And it is now futures that is doing the heavy lifting. The basis still collapsed from last week, yes?
Yeah, the basis has not been good in the beans. The old crop bean basis really fell apart last week. We did see a pretty good movement of beans, basic more so a little bit out west, but a lot of the processors did pick up anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks supply.
So is it just picking up supply that is the reason for the collapse, or are there some other underpinning reasons as well?
Well, I think, of course, we had supposedly there was rumors that China canceled some bean purchases out of Brazil because of the backlog. And we also seen meal prices of, they aren't quite as tight as they were once that some of the processors really get some of the hands on out there. And also, basically, at the great inverse that we had for things, the processors weren't able to be selling meal. And the oil has been under a little pressure out there past about a month out. So they didn't want too much more supply than what they could sell their product for.
We're going to be looking with great anticipation at 3 o'clock when USDA releases its latest crop progress report. What do you think the bean planting number will be? Maybe 60? Is that a little rich?
If it's 60, we definitely don't think the November beans will hold 1288 this evening. But basically along the way, somewhere in that north of 50, but maybe just a little bit south of 60.
So that would indicate that, given the weather forecast, more than 20 million acres of soybeans are going to need to be planted in the second week of June and beyond.
That would be very true, Dave.
Wow.
I mean, but that's not the end of the world. In a lot of cases, we see that. One of the other things that might have helped the beans is looking at the rain we've had in some of the wheat areas, and as late as some of the wheat is actually doing, we might be considering a number of double crop acres that might not be planted to beans, too.
Okay, let's turn our attention to corn. What's the story there this afternoon?
Hey, funds bought somewhere between 10,000 and 11,000 contracts of corn today. We look to have, fairly good planting progress, but we did get a lot more rain over the weekend out in Iowa, Minnesota, and across some of those areas. And, as a lot of them are talking about, we go into late planting here, but it's June 10th before you can actually say you just didn't plant and leave it that way. But a lot of figures flying across the news wires today saying If I take pre-plant and get 60% of my guarantee, that would give me about $500 an acre, another $100 an acre if I wanted to go in after the late planting date on beans and plant beans, or else just switch over and not take prevent plant and plant the beans, that they would have $650 an acre in that bean crop in comparison. Can they do any better with beans? And that would take some fairly decent beans, even at $12. So a lot of people talking about just taking prevented plant on corn in some areas if they can't get the beans out.
Well, some places can take the prevented plant and go with something else, sorghum or something.
Yeah, basically you have to wait until after the last, it's not just the prevented plant date, but after the late plant date before you can plant another crop and not insure it.
So that's been talked about a lot today with the pencil. 551 December corn is not a number that we might have thought we would have seen talking about 99 million corn acres earlier in the year.
Definitely not, Dave. I mean, Emil, basically talking that, even just talking what we were after the last report and with the 2 billion bushel carryover, getting back to this level was something we were wishing for. Wishing and hoping, not really planning on. And, you know, here we are. It's given us a little gift back. Fortunately, if you're in an area where maybe your corn is planted, it's something to take advantage of. If the corn's not in the ground, of course, you sit back and wait.
How has basis been doing with corn lately?
You know, the basis has been hanging in there as far as the old crop corn, new crop corn. Basically, we haven't seen hardly any change in it. Now, we did see, supposedly, they're hoping that these stronger prices might garner some farmer sales. Farmers haven't sold much corn as far as cash to the elevators here, and they'd like to see a little bit on the books. But all in all, it looks like these were prices we were hoping for. It's going to be the weather from here on in. You know, the biggest thing we have to think and talk about, Dave, is that 1 week that's going to be very pollination intensive as far as this corn crop. And looks like that's going to be about third week in July. And third week in July is generally hot and dry, isn't it?
Yeah, it usually is. I mean, that's what it is in central Illinois.
So, you know, that's one of the things that's, you know, maybe inspiring a little bit of buying here or a little bit of non-selling is the idea that pollination is going to be later in a hotter, drier time period.
So that bodes well for maybe some upside potential. But this is a good place to start if you haven't done anything.
Oh, I would say wholeheartedly yes. I, you know, and like I say, we're not saying going to 100% sold, but if you haven't sold any new corn, we'd probably want to get some on the books here.
What else you look at today?
Well, I mean, you know, as we looked here, the dollar, very strong again today, back 84.20. That the crude oil back up above 95. Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking a lot about the quantitative easing to start being cut back upon here, and I think a lot of people are looking at that possibility down the road.
Thank you, Wayne.
Thanks, Dave.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, and he is in New Market, Indiana.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
In agricultural news, Thomas Gibson, the former head of cattle brokerage Eastern Livestock Company, has been convicted of mail fraud as part of a scheme that sent $130 million of bad checks to cattlemen and businesses across the country. This latest conviction focused on federal charges against Gibson. He was sentenced to 70 months in federal prison. Former chief operating officer of Eastern Livestock, Michael Stephen McDonald, was sentenced to 57 months in federal prison. Gibson and McDonald admitted they were part of an ongoing criminal collaboration between 2009 and 2010. To date, some $600,000 has been paid in restitution to producers, and more checks are expected to be issued in the months to come. Federal forecasters are predicting yet another busy hurricane season. Their latest outlook calls for 13 to 20 named storms, 7 to 11 that strengthen into hurricanes, and 3 to 6 that become major hurricanes. last year was the third busiest on record, with 19 named storms. 10 became hurricanes and 2 were major storms with winds over 111 miles per hour. That included Sandy, which caused $50 billion in damage when it made landfall in New Jersey. U.S. home prices jumped 10.9% in March compared with a year ago. That's the most since April of 2006. The Standard & Poor's Case-Shiller Home Price Index released today also showed that all 20 cities measured posted annual gains for the third straight month. Russia's Ag Ministry today says that Russia planted spring grains on 23.1 million hectares by May 27th. That's 76.3% of the total area to be planted, but 3 million hectares less than planted on the same date last year. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. In 1904, a grain elevator was built in the town of Atlanta, Illinois. It was closed in the mid-1970s. In the early 90s, a few of the town folk decided to save the aging building, and now it is on the Registry of Historic Places in the United States. Todd Gleason went on a tour of the J.H. Hawes Grain Elevator and Museum with Marge and James Coleman.
The engine came from the Eminence Grain and Coal Company, which is about 3.5-4 miles out of town. And it was restored by Dean May. And he put it back in really wonderful condition. And that's how it got here. Volunteer work has gone in. The bricks in the engine building were all cleaned by volunteers in the cold old days. And we've had a lot of people volunteer their help on laying bricks and carrying mortar and fixing windows, and we have tried to keep it as historically as possible.
Well, I guess we might say it's just we enjoy showing people how it used to be done. I can't say primitive way, but somewhere between primitive and modern day, it was done through houses like this. Well, they stopped on the scale platform with the load originally, and then after they weighed and cleared the scale house, they'd drive on up in here and stop on the dump logs, and they'd trip it and run the load down in the pit. End of the leg, up in the bend.
The scales came from out in the country, and I was just riding my bike in the morning downtown, and there were 4 people walking around, and I had a feeling they had been from here, and I stopped and visited with them. To make a long story short, we came over in the afternoon, and the scales in the scale house was from a farm out in the country, and they didn't know their dad very well because their parents had divorced. And when they looked down in the scales, there was their dad's name with grain that he had brought to that farmer, and he kept all the list of grain and the weights. And I soon saw tears in their eyes. City Hall and the library, when they're open, you can always get someone there to call one of us who have a key to open it and show you around. It's always open during June, July, and August on Sunday afternoons from 1 to 3. But if anybody comes through, most people in town know who to call and get the elevator open. And I ride my bike around a lot, and I've gone home and gotten the key many a time, brought people down here, and I've had a wonderful time showing the elevator.
are a few facts and figures about the machinery in the J.H. Hawes Crane Elevator Museum. The old gas engine that operates the elevator runs at 400 revolutions per minute and puts out over 10 horsepower. The pulley system inside the building is driven by a single rope 280 feet long, and the total capacity of the elevator is 29,000 bushels. Joining us now for our look at the energy market is Dan O'Brien of Kansas State University in Colby, Kansas. Good afternoon, Dan.
Yes, how's it going, Dave?
Going well. Futures in the ethanol market have been rallying from the beginning of the year, even spiking and gapping higher a few weeks ago. But it seems like maybe they're beginning to lose a little bit of their oomph as we look at potential for corn prices. And I know right now corn prices are good. In fact, have been really good lately, counter-seasonally good in some to some degree. But what about ethanol prices on the balance of the year?
Well, when you look at the structure of ethanol futures, as we call it, i.e. looking at from, again, June, which today as we speak is trading about 263, and moving on to December, it's forecast to fall down to about 203. So surely that would probably be a negative for the ethanol market. I think that there's anticipation, though, that corn prices, if we get a large crop, and again, your country with the rainfall that you have, it sounds like we should have a good crop coming. There's, I guess, we'll have to get through June, July, and August to see how that works
right out.
But if that happens, and if corn prices do lower, then that probably we anticipate we wouldn't be far away from the current situation in terms of our profitability.
Well, it also depends on what the price of the RBOB is at the moment, at that point, too, and the relationship between the two. What do you forecast there?
Well, as we go, starting from about the first of this year, January 2nd, again, right after the first, looking at about the first of each month, and kind of monitoring the July 2013 ethanol contract, we've seen ethanol move higher relative to RBOB futures. And as far as where that goes in the future, I think a lot will depend on how gasoline demand holds up and just the general, well, as always, we fall back on supply-demand forces, Dave.
All right.
And as long as gasoline demand moves higher or stays at current levels through the summers we're seeing, and there aren't any regulatory changes in the overall program, I think we'd anticipate pretty much a steady state. It's hard to project major changes down the road. Again, probably the biggest issue, you've got two issues. On the one hand, demand for the product, i.e. in the general gasoline market, ethanol is part of that, and the supply of the input, and of course, corn being the big issue there. And I think in a broader picture, if we do get a large corn crop this year, we'd have lower priced crop inputs, and that would tend to help the profitability of the ethanol plants.
And we really need to see that 400 million bushels that have gone away to come on back. So,
well, that's right. Again, anticipation for, and right now, the latest USDA numbers are about 14 plus billion bushels. If that comes into play, we're looking at about 4.6 billion bushels of corn being used for ethanol, down a bit, but still not too bad.
Thank you, Dan.
Thanks. Take care, Dave.
That's Dan O'Brien of Kansas State University in Colby, Kansas. I'll be back in 2 minutes with a look at agricultural weather with Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. It's National Hamburger Day. The word hamburger comes from Hamburg steak, which originated in the German city of Hamburg. The recipe was brought to North America by German immigrants. By the way, the cheeseburger first appeared in 1924. Credit goes to grill chef Lionel Steinberg of the Right Spot in Pasadena, California. On this day in agricultural history in 1892, the Sierra Club was formed in San Francisco for nature conservation. In 1897, Jell-O was introduced. Pearl Waite, a carpenter and cough medicine manufacturer, produced Jell-O varieties in strawberry, raspberry, orange, and lemon fruit flavors. By the way, the dessert was named by Waite's wife, May. Waite eventually sold the Jell-O business to a neighbor for $450, who, with the help of a national campaign in Ladies' Home Journal, pushed sales by 1902 to $250,000. And in 2003, the first cloned horse was born in a natural delivery. The foal was created in the lab by fusing an adult skin cell and an empty egg, then returning the resulting embryo to the female's womb after a few days. Although clones are currently banned from racing, tissue from many top animals have been stored for cloning. The birth was announced in Nature on August 7th of 2003. And that's this day in agricultural history. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon, Don.
Good afternoon.
It rained too much over the weekend, Don, and the forecast forward doesn't look favorable for areas in that western corn belt, does it?
No, it doesn't. In fact, talk about going from one extreme to another here over the last 6 months, and the precipitation continues to look to be focused in those western areas, but also, I think, across many areas of the central Corn Belt, most notably central and northern Illinois, northern Indiana, portions of eastern Iowa. Here over the next 5 days, it's going to be a very active frontal boundary setting up there that's going to focus heavy rains. In some areas, there'll be as much as 2, 3, 4 inches of rain. In some of those areas that don't want it. So we're going to continue to see wet conditions in many areas.
So this is rain on areas that already have standing water to some degree.
Yes, definitely. And temperatures that aren't going to be terribly warm either. We're not going to be as cool as what we saw earlier this spring, but the heat is not coming as well.
So this last, let's say there's 15% of the corn crop yet to be planted. We won't know for sure where we're standing until 3 o'clock when USDA releases its latest crop progress report. But let's say there's 15% left. Do you suspect that 15% may not get into the ground very easily?
Well, certainly areas of northern Missouri, central and northern Illinois, and portions of Iowa and eastern Nebraska, those areas that are behind, that are maybe making up for a large part of that 15%, I think it's going to be hard to see much movement in those new numbers today. And certainly the next week, progress is going to be very slow or not moving much at all in some of those areas.
One of the areas that was most far behind was the Dakotas, and actually time's running out for them anyway.
Well, yeah, and right now the Dakotas is going to be the focal point, at least here in the short term, of a lot of shower and thunderstorm activity, some of it severe. Now, there is a little bit of a glimmer hope for those areas this weekend and early next week. I do see a window of opportunity. They'll be pushing the limit. That might be too late for them, but at least we'll give them a chance.
Turn your attentions to the second week of the forecast.
Well, right now the way June's looking is that the first 10 days, 7 to 10 days of the month, is going to carry forward a lot of what we have going on right now. Which means it's going to be slow going for any major or persistent warm-up in the northern tier, from the Pacific Northwest through the northern Rockies, northern Plains states, and into the central and northern Corn Belt. Those areas are going to continue to have systems that will keep it moist. After that, we do see the establishment of a warmer, drier, more summer-like pattern, but for the first week, maybe the first 10 days of June, it'll be basically what we have going on now.
Any potential of a cyclone ridge developing?
Well, right now, in that first 10 days of June, no. Right now, we're hoping that we see that in the second week.
Thank you much, Don.
Thank you.
That's Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and that is today's Closing Market Report. You can subscribe to our free Ag e-newsletter by going to our website. It's willag.org. Click on the subscribe link in the right navigation window. This is Dave Dickey.